and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. It's Whitney Day, so we're happy you joined us. A big day. Don't forget, there's an earlier post time today, 12:35. So if you're headed up here, make sure you mark that a little bit earlier on a big Whitney Saturday with great stakes action. We went over a lot of it earlier on the handicapping show, but we'll be touching on some of these races during this next hour as well. Should be a really fun hour. Coming up in a few, we'll be joined by Jim Gluckson of the Breeders' Cup. Whitney today is a win-in-your-in race. They have a handful of win-in-your-ins up here at Saratoga. Also, the Breeders' Cup future wagers coming up this weekend. We'll hit on that and more with Jim. Wesley Ward scheduled to join us a little bit later on as well. His Golden Pal won the Troy yesterday. Just a really fabulous racehorse. But we'll talk about that one and some other horses he has coming up and looking back as well. And then Ren Carruthers, who we have by Zoom or by phone during the Tampa season, but she's in town, and it's always fun to get people live here on the set that the rest of the year when we're in the studio down in Albany. Do connect with us by phone or by Zoom, and so we'll have her, and she's a pedigree expert, as it were. Maybe we'll get a look at some of the two-year-old races coming up from Ren. All of that in the next hour, but we kick things off. Happy to be joined now by Elliot Walden, the CEO, president, and racing manager of Windstar Farm. They, of course, have some nice runners in today and have had some nice ones going back over the last few weeks as well, and maybe looking forward. Elliot, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on. And I say it often when we're doing this show. Up at Saratoga, I think our audience expands, and expands a lot with people who are kind of come and they really have a great day at the track, and, hey, I think I want to be a racing fan. So we have a lot of new people. So for the new people, talk about Windstar. You guys race, you guys breed. Just define Windstar Farm for the folks.
Well, we have 2,500 acres. We're centrally located in Lexington, Kentucky, right in the bluegrass section, and we breed. We have 20 stallions. We have about 160 mares who have about 120 foals, and we really do it from start to finish, which is one of the few farms that do everything there on the facility. We have a training center as well. Rudolph Brisset is there and training horses there, and we actually won one here 10 days ago with a filly named Miracle.
Yeah.
Everything. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of excitement every day. It's not a typical farm. It's a lot of action all the time.
Yeah, it seems that, and you have a nice website too. If people type in Windstar Farm into Google, you can pull up the website. Keeps up with the entries and results, yeah, and whatnot. And you can learn a little bit more about that. And on your side, going into bio information, you were a trainer for a while, and you got into the game. It was a family business, essentially, right? That's how you got in?
Yes, sir. I'm third generation horseman.
Nice. Your training career, you started John Gosden and Leroy Jolly.
Yeah, Leroy Jolly up here when I was 15 and supposed to be 16 to have a license. And Leroy said, don't worry about that. We'll get that solved. So,
statute of limitations is up.
Yeah, that's right. Genuine risk, honest
pleasure. I was
going to
say, any of those Firestone horses.
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable. Great learning experience. Very grateful to be up here with him, and was up here three summers.
Nice.
And it taught me a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then winner of Belmont Stakes and a lot of great stakes races yourself, Belmont with Victory Gallop, and then you transitioned over to the Windstar side of things. And for Windstar, let's get into some thoughts for today, because you have Life is Good. We're going to take a look at the Ney Route, and I asked Todd the other day at the draw why the 7 furlongs. He said the spacing was right after the race in Dubai and before the Whitney, and this was a nice performance. Life is Good is going to be the number one horse here. Talk a little bit about, you know, the mile and an eighth. He won the Pegasus. A little bit disappointing in the Dubai race, but Todd was kind of pointing to the track a little bit. But this comebacker says he came back very well. Talk about how Life is Good is coming into this afternoon.
Life is Good's doing really well. You know, after Dubai, we gave him a bit of a break, and then we started him in the Ney Route, as you said, July 2nd. Great timing 5 weeks into this race, 7 furlongs back into the mile and an eighth, and everything's going well. So we're really excited to be here. The Whitney is a race that you always want to win. You circle each year, see, do I have something for this race? And we were fortunate enough to win it in 2019 with Improbable. We're hopefully, maybe that was 20. I can't remember. It was COVID. I know that. We were wearing masks and everything. But it was kind of a strange thing because there were no fans here.
Very strange.
But he won it, and we're excited to be here again.
Concerns about the trip? I mean, like I say, he won the Pegasus, so.
No, I mean, he's got to prove it again. I mean, that's, I think the mile and a quarter was a very deep track in Dubai. I think people want to see him win again at a mile and an eighth. Yeah. We want to see him win again at a mile and an eighth. You watch this horse train, you wouldn't think there's any distance limitations. But horses that are as fast as he is, you know, sometimes distance finds him out a little bit. So we're going to find out today. It's a great field.
Yeah, very good. We're going to take a look here next at the Stephen Foster Olympiad, who is in today as the number 3 horse. Number 2 will be American Revolution. But there were some whispers that maybe American Revolution, this, their plan B here, and what's going to go down today, or don't we know for sure yet with American Revolution?
We've come to kind of a decision to watch the weather a little bit longer.
Okay.
And, you know, he ran so well in the Empire Classic in the mud. If for some reason the rain looks like it's rolling in here, we'll probably leave him in. If not, we'll probably scratch and go to the Jockey Club.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Evan Shipman, but you'll go to the big race at the end of the meet.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really, really good horse, grade one winner in his own right. You know, he gets beat 2 lengths to Olympiad there. He's got
and
a
it
shift
was a nice
weight.
Confidence builder and a rebound off the blame. And again, I asked Todd
that
the other day.
Progressive.
He said we weren't looking for the blame, and so
we were looking for the commentator didn't go, and so we flipped the next week to have to ship him all the way to Churchill. Then we left him there. You know, it's a tough decision because he's a really good horse, but at the end of the day, we don't think that he can beat Life as Good.
Okay.
And so we're going to give ourselves the chance to possibly run in 2 grade ones. Now, if it turns muddy here, he's still in as we speak. And we're going to monitor that up till 1 o'clock or so.
And being Saratoga, that's probably
you never know. You never know. I thought yesterday I got caught in a rainstorm walking home from the sale.
We've had 2 crazy rainstorms here where it's blazing sun and pouring rain twice. That's happened here.
I asked my wife why she didn't come get me. She said, well, she was downtown and it wasn't even raining. So you never know.
Yeah, so as I say, a prudent decision. All right, let's also talk about taking a look at the Saratoga Derby because Emmanuel scheduled there, and we were talking on the handicapping show. Emmanuel scratching out of the Belmont Derby kind of left things to Classic Causeway on the front end. Emmanuel, a front end kind of a horse, and we're going to take a look, in fact, at the Pennine Ridge where he wins on the front end going back to June 4th. Emmanuel going to be the number 6 horse here. But what are your thoughts this afternoon, particularly after what we saw with the move to the grass last time with Classic Causeway on the front end?
Can't wait to see him run back. really excited. Unfortunate situation in the Belmont Derby where we had to scratch. The horse has really come alive on the turf. His last few workouts, he's been head-to-head with Annapolis. You know, I don't know if those races are on where somebody could watch him, but he's right there with him, and he's the kind of favorite. So I think it's a really good race for him. I think he will be up close. I don't think he needs the lead.
Okay.
So if things get a little crazy in front or Classic Causeway has to have the lead, I think he's very tractable in his way he wants to lay. So I'm just glad to get him back on the grass in this quality of field. It's a very good field.
Yeah, very good.
You have good horses from Europe. You have the best horses on the turf here. $1 million. Let's see what happens.
And I people who watch me enough know I love this subdivision. Three-year-olds on the turf. It seems like there's spots starting at Gulfstream in the winter and venues all around the country. The three-year-old stakes on the turf are a lot of fun.
Well, Martin Panza had a vision, and he put it in play. I would have preferred to see him run them at a shorter, like a mile or a mile and a 16th, because from a breeding perspective, we tend to like the milers better than the mile and a halfers or the mile, you know, and so, you know, I think it would have actually tied in a little better. But he had a vision of getting these horses from Europe that ran in the English Derby and things like that, and he's got them.
Zappably and Aiden O'Brien in here today.
That's right.
It is a fun idea and a fun series. And
like something new.
Yeah.
So when he did it.
Exactly. The racing game is kind of stodgy, and so when there's a new idea, I think
that's
we all
right.
have to.
And there's 11 horses in there, so it's a good betting race as well. Ties into the Whitney, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
You mentioned this one earlier, and I pulled up a replay. Debut runner Miracle, going back to the earlier part of the meet, week and a half or so ago. Miracle by Mendelson, first time starter. You bought this one down in Ocala in March. Miracle is going to be the number 7 horse here. Just talk about buying the horse and how you play into the 2-year-old sales, and then the having it all pay off with a nice win up at Saratoga in the debut effort.
Well, I mean, I tell you, she is a really, really nice filly. She's a New York bred. This is against
which
New York bred.
Which gives you all kinds of options.
Right. But I think she could have won open the way that she won. But the thing about Miracle for us was she was the first horse that we brought off our training center and ran. So basically, she was here a week. And all she did was pop out of the gate to get okayed. We had broke her on the farm. We have a full facility with, and you can see on
I'm looking at the PPs here, WSR.
She had 8 works there. People didn't know what to do with that, I think, and she went off at 14-1. If she were in Todd's barn, which she would have been if we didn't do this, probably would have been 2-1.
Yeah.
Because she had showed ability. So it's an angle for horse players that they're going to have to, all those works that she had rhythmical and you know proper times, everything was they're going to have to figure that out. We've got a horse in at Ellis today. We won one at Ellis yesterday, and I think they're just having a hard time figuring it out because the track is a little quicker, so a minute there would be like a 101 here.
Okay,
so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but this is all new, and Miracle really proved that Rudolph could do it, that we could do it off the training center, and so it's exciting.
It is a 2-year-old filly, and as you say, a New York bred. Any plans coming up the remainder of the meet?
She's going to run back in the Seek and the Annie.
Okay.
That's the day before the Traverse.
Yeah,
she stayed here.
Day.
So she's here. She's been here. Rudolph's got horses here, and so she's here and going to stay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Also wanted to mention, I looked up We the People working at the training facility and what might be the game plan looking forward.
Well, he's in West Virginia Derby.
Dwyer, right? Oh, okay.
He's in today.
Oh, okay. So, I didn't see that.
Yep.
He was working at Windstar, though.
Yes, he's working at Windstar, and he's doing well, and we hope he runs very well today. He's been doing outstanding.
Yeah, Dwyer, right?
Yeah, he won the Dwyer. Oh, he won the Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, okay. Right.
Charge It won the Dwyer.
Yeah.
The two kind of 3-year-old races at Belmont that weren't the Belmont.
Yeah.
But he was a little disappointing in the Belmont. Really felt like we had a big chance there. And he kind of got his own way on the lead. But I just don't think he found out the mile and a half. And so we're wheeling him back to the mile and an eighth today. And then probably won't make the Traverse being 3 weeks today.
Yeah.
But would look at a Pennsylvania Derby if he runs big today.
That makes sense. Also, you know, looking at your website, as I said, you're racing and on the breeding side. And I love the 2-year-old races. I love to look at the breeding and 2-year-old sales, look at the workouts and whatnot and connections that are potent. And you guys certainly are potent when I'm looking at owners with 2-year-old races up here at Saratoga and whatnot. But I had the guys pull up a little of the confirmation video of Constitution, who is one of those sires when I'm looking at the 2-year-old side. Constitution always jumps out at me. So tout your sire a little bit, Constitution.
Well, he's the next coming for us. We've had a great group of stallions for 20 years and More Than Ready, Spitestown, Tis Now, and Distorted Humor. And Constitution has bridged that gap, and we're really excited about his future. His first yearlings that were after he proved himself are this year.
Ah, okay.
So his first crop was 4 years ago, and then this crop that's yearlings have been, everybody saw, wow, what a great sire he is, let's breed to him. So his project.
So that's interesting. From a breeder's side, this then is kind of a notable year.
Yes, yes, very notable. Very notable, because the mares bred on this crop were after he had performed as a stallion.
Very good.
So they saw 'tis the law. They saw all the horses he had in his first crop. So we're real excited about this yearling crop. And typically what happens, Seth, is from first, second, third, fourth crop, the quality goes down on the mares until they either they hit and it goes back up, or they don't and they, you know, they don't go. But
Someday we'll get you in here to talk more about that, because I find that all fascinating. That first year they can pop up, and then you're 2 or 3 years later, you're kind of like, but as you say, the mayor, they
the
just
get qualities half
until
of
it's all proven, and then
right.
boom.
I know in my family, the mayor's half of it. So,
and speaking of that, I went over and I was talking to you before we went on the air, and I picked up my catalog to the sale coming up at the beginning of the week, and man, it was rocking over there this morning.
Yeah,
couldn't four block radius with no parking, and the horses were out, and people were looking. Are you buying or selling at the sale?
Both.
Very good.
We're looking, and we have a couple in. We have a Bolt D'Oro colt that's very nice.
Got off to a really good start.
Yeah, and we have a Justify filly.
Very good.
So, yeah, we're excited.
Do you guys participate on the weekend in the New York bred sale?
We will. We bought American Revolution there 2 years ago.
Oh, right.
And we bought a horse named Diversify a few years back that turned out to be an exceptional won the Whitney.
Yeah.
And so that sale's been good to us.
Yeah, it has really moved up the last 5-10 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's I always tell people, if you're new to the game, come pick up a book. You'll help you learn a little bit about breeding. Yeah. But it's a great atmosphere over there as well. A lot of fun. You get the seven figures, and everybody's excited about that.
A lot of dreams.
Yeah,
a lot of dreams.
The New York bred sale again on the weekend is kind of fun too. Elliot, we really appreciate it. As I said to you when you sat down, you know, with the sales and the big racing day, I'm sure you're very busy. But we appreciate you taking a little time this morning to join us. Oh, I don't have my card, but all our guests on Saturday, and I will get it to you in the commercial, get a gift card. I'll give you a gift card to Pinnell's. Go over and have dinner on
Thank
us.
You.
So
Thank
enjoy
you so
that.
Much.
It's a show of appreciation, but we do appreciate
Pinnell's.
You showing up. And the lasagna, the steak's good, too.
Steak's awesome.
Yeah. But we really appreciate your stopping by, and again, good luck going forward, not only here, but at the sales as well. And again, we appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Seth, and good luck to everybody today. It's a great day of handicapping. It's a great day to be a fan of horse racing, and hope life is good at the end of the day.
Yeah, always a great day at Saratoga.
Yeah, it is.
Elliot Walden, the president, CEO, racing manager at Windstar Farm. We will take a break. When we come back, Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley, and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection in one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives, and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back. We are happy to be joined now by our friend Jim Gluckson, media relations for the Breeders' Cup. Jim, good morning.
Seth, thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. You're a regular up here on the big race days, particularly these win and you're in days for the Breeders' Cup. And I always like to catch up and remind people, you were at one point a Saratoga guy, right?
I was graduated from Skidmore College here with a degree in political science, and it got me a career in racing. So I don't know how that happened, but it
well,
turned out okay.
There's some politics to racing.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, it's great to be up here, and we're excited today for our Breeders' Cup Challenge. When you're in here for the Whitney, a great history of the Whitney and the Breeders' Cup Classic, of course, our program, as many people know. The entry fees for the winner are paid for, and you get an automatic starting position in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. This race has produced six winners
have gone on
to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, including last year Nick Sko, who of course won the Breeders' Cup, Longines Breeders' Cup Classic at Del Mar, and went on to claim Horse of the Year.
Yeah.
So it's a great history for this event. I'll also just go back in history even further. There are two winners of the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff, Lady Secret, who won the Whitney and then went on to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff back in 1986, and the undefeated Personal Ensign won the Whitney and then won also the Breeders' Cup Distaff. So it's a great combination. This is the first of six winning your in races here at Saratoga.
Oh, is that right? There's six up here.
There are six up here at Saratoga. The series started here in Saratoga in 2007, and there were 24 races at the series the first year, just in the United States. We now have 82 races in 11 countries, we're all over the world, five continents, and it's been very successful. It's a prestigious to win one of these races. I would also say this year, one little wrinkle we've added to the series in the United States, in 11 of the 14 divisions, we're crowning these winners as regional representatives through the Challenge Series, East, Midwest, and West, to kind of add a little bit of more of a rivalry of when these horses are coming in to participate. Not in the Classic division, because we have more than just three, but we've streamlined the series in that respect. So it's all very encouraging. And again, excited now in the 15th year of the program and to have a great participation.
Yeah, in anticipation of you coming on, I pulled up the website, and folks can go visit the Breeders' Cup website. Always a lot of great information there. But I was looking at the Win and You're In series and what's been run so far and what's to look forward to. And what did jump out, as being an interesting and fun change over when the series got instituted is the international aspect. Europe, Asia, South America, and I think that does add some real intrigue. We see that every year around June when Wesley Ward sends the horses over to Ascot. We love it when our horses go over there, but it's fun when their best come over here as well.
That's the idea, to increase the international participation of the Breeders' Cup, 42 starters last year coming from overseas. It's very important. As you say, we'll be in France for winning you're in next week, and up to Ireland in September. Prior to that, at York, the Ebor Festival in the middle of August, the international at York, which is the only European winning you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So it's very, very interesting and intriguing international participation.
Speaking of international, the pandemic years, unfortunately, we haven't, but our friends up at Woodbine, we have typically gone up Woodbine Mile weekend, and that the Woodbine Mile is winning you're in, but the two-year-old races up there, the Summer and the Natalma as well, those are fun two-year-old races that propel horses.
It's a great program. It's a great day.
Was it Pizza Bianca last year?
Yeah.
I think
it came through. And it was a champion, and we love it. You mentioned yesterday Golden Pal winning, a two-time Breeders' Cup champion. It's tremendous throughout the year. It's what the Challenge Series does as these horses qualify. Just another link to the Breeders' Cup. It's a year-round program of qualifying, and it gets great exposure for that. So it's terrific, and we're very pleased our broadcast will be on NBC today as a part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, when you're presented by America's Best Racing. So it's really been terrific.
I had Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey on yesterday, so looking forward to. And I said to them, when I went down the chute, the beginning of the meet, the brand new chute, they'd taken out your broadcast location there, but the other day it popped back up.
So, good.
Because it's a great location on the turn, and you know the facility in the background, and so again, should be a fun broadcast today for the win in your end. Then after the race, they get the nice purple Breeders' Cup blanket.
That's right. It's very, very special. Just a segue.
Oh, they didn't put you wearing the purple shirt.
There you go. I came dressed for the occasion.
Media guy. Yeah.
What can I do?
I should have worn a purple tie.
Just segueing in from this very important race, the Whitney here, we are having the first of two Breeders' Cup Classic, Longines Breeders' Cup Classic future wagers.
Which should be fun.
Wagering opened yesterday at 12 noon. It's a $2 minimum wager, 24 betting interests. Four horses in the Whitney are in a group of 20, and so we'll see how what happens. Certainly after today, the wagering is open on all the major websites to ADWs, to wager on this Longines Breeders' Cup future wager, closing at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, and we're back again September 2nd. For a second future wager. So I think we'll find some interest in that. So I think that, and after today, obviously, we'll see what kind of movement we have.
Yeah, and I say when we talk about the Derby future pool, right. I always say on a weekend like this, don't bet yet. Wait until you see the results today and then go into tomorrow. And maybe you'll have a sneaky one. Maybe you'll see a trip today that you think, maybe we can improve on that. But, you'll want to wait until you see the results today and jump into that. And, again, Labor Day weekend pool two for the Breeders' Cup Classic Future Pool. It should be fun. The Future Pools are always a lot of fun. And speaking of fun, I pulled up, and we can tie this in, I pulled up a replay of Flightline winning the Met Mile. And I pulled that up because, man, we would love to see him here for the Whitney. We're not going to get to see that, but we have Olympiad and Life is Good, and we'll see which one of those wins today. But that then sets up the Breeders' Cup Classic with potentially, as we see here, Flightline showing up. He'll be in the Pacific Classic, Breeders' Cup Classic. We're hoping that we get the matchup of some of the horses here today and some of the Flightline, and that'll all happen at Keeneland. So talk a little bit about the anticipation going into Keeneland.
Well,
this year.
First, in a word, electrifying. Yes, the TVG Pacific Classic is a winner in for the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. I guess for the September 3rd start, could be his last start before the Breeders' Cup. And we are again at Keeneland on November 4 and 5. We had the 2020 Breeders' Cup under pandemic conditions at Keeneland. We could not have fans at the event. We gave fans that had to be refunded those tickets the first opportunity to purchase tickets again.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we have sold a lot of tickets. But we're still there's a limited number of tickets still available. BreedersCup.com for purchase. But we do expect to sell out. So people should make their move as soon as possible.
Very good. Breeders' Cup website, again, you can Google it and find the website very easy. It's just BreedersCup.com.
BreedersCup.com,
very
yes.
easy to find.
/ tickets, yes.
And look for the tickets there.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to mention, as far as the future wager, people can get free PPs at the website.
And the instructions are all there on the website for the first future wager.
Yeah, it should be fun. Jim, well, we appreciate the visit. Always good to see you in town, and these winning your ends, you're always here, so I'm sure we'll see you a few more times before the meet is over.
Absolutely. Seth, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Jim Glutzen, media relations from the Breeders' Cup, and again, the winning your ends up here at Saratoga. Six of them will kick things off with the Whitney today, and look forward to a Breeders' Cup and a Breeders' Cup Classic showdown coming up at Keeneland a little bit later on. Jim, before we let you go, all our guests... Hey, dinner at Jacob and Anthony's downtown on us, so enjoy a little dinner tonight at Jacob and Anthony's, and we appreciate your visit.
Thank you, Seth. Nice little bonus. Appreciate it.
There you go. Jim Glutzen from the Breeders' Cup will take a break. When we come back, we will continue with more Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
for the juvenile fillies to 14 of them across the track. Here's Set on their way. And of the Dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stockman but running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, Stop Shopping Maria's got a lot left. Stop Shopping Maria goes on, Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like, Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come, Stop Shopping Maria for the run, still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late, yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, Stop Shopping Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Yes, it is.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Saturday morning. As promised earlier in the show, we are joined now by our friend Ren Carruthers, who usually via phone or via Zoom from Tampa during the Tampa season. But I said when you sat down, and it's always fun when the people that we talk to via phone or Zoom in the studio the rest of the year show up at the crossroads of racing, Saratoga.
Well, no, this is super exciting for me, not only to finally be able to talk about the horses with you in person, but at this amazing venue. So
it is incredible. Yeah. And should we reiterate your
adventure? I almost didn't make it here yesterday. You can check my Twitter feed for more. The whole saga is documented. Yeah. But long story short, we ended up having to drive 7 hours up, and we're going on probably maybe 6 hours sleep total over 3 days.
That seems to be kind of a common theme for travel for people this summer. But we're thrilled you made it here.
Thank you.
And before we get going, I do want to allow you to talk a little bit, because, again, looking at your Twitter feed and whatnot, if folks are going out looking at social media and whatnot, you do some things for Breeders' Cup. Yeah. You do some things for America's Best Racing. I saw you had an interview with Shug. And just tout your other endeavors that people can find.
Well, yeah, the Breeders' Cup right now is my main thing. I do provide selections for Woodbine. There's also, of course, Tampa Bay Downs. I am honored to be their host analyst on the simulcast feed, and I love the racing there. Amazing turf course. The dirt course is great too, but fair racing, lots of opportunities if you do your homework.
I have been a Tampa fan for years and years and years. My father, when he was still alive, was retired down a little below, and I would go spend some time in the wintertime and then go up to Tampa and Margot Flynn and company.
Oh, I love Margot.
And I agree with you that when they added the turf course years and years ago, that was a great move. It's a nice little facility. It's the perfect size that you know, you get a little crowd in there. There's a fun buzz, yeah. And the racing is fun.
The heavy hitters are going there. Chad Brown's running like Bleecker Street. Hello.
Yeah. No, the turf course is getting a lot of folks coming over from the other side of Florida. And then what? You may be too young. No, I think everybody's with the Monkees.
I'm older than I look.
The Monkees. I was watching the Tampa Bay Derby at one point years and years ago, and I realized the guy standing in front of me, looking up at the TV, just hanging out with the rest of the was Davy Jones from
Are
the
you
Monkees.
Serious?
Davy
oh
Jones.
Oh my gosh,
Monkees.
I love it.
That was crazy. All right, let's get some thoughts this afternoon. Why don't we start with some of the stakes action? Then you're
let's
a pedigree person, so we have a couple of 2-year-old races as well.
Yes.
But you know, thoughts on the Whitney. I said this morning, I'm going to go with Life is Good, but I thought that one in Olympiad are like razor thin for me. I think Hot Rod Charlie and American Revolution, they wouldn't shock me if they got it done. Zoomer maybe would be a shock off the $50,000 claim, but what do you think of the Whitney?
Well, I do think that your logical horses look to be the horses. I'm probably going to lean toward Olympiad.
Okay.
I do think Life is Good, and I love that horse, and I love that we're building toward this excitement of a showdown with him in Flightline, but why not throw Olympiad into that conversation and mix also? I mean, this horse has done very little wrong, obviously. I mean, he's
much
coming
improved off, 4-year-old.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what is this? 5 consecutive wins he's coming into? And one could make the argument he's due to lose at some point. But it just looks like this race is going to set up for him. Now, as far as Life is Good, I know a lot of people, obviously, he's already won at this distance. But I saw, you know, and I've seen and heard people make comments about, well, what about the distance going forward? And I would just say to that, I thought he ran very gallantly in the Dubai World Cup, and I actually talked to Todd Fletcher, and I asked him point blank, was it the distance that got to him? And he didn't think it was. The track that day, if you look at the times, those caliber horses putting in the times that they were putting, it was the track, in his opinion. So I wouldn't count this horse out, you know, as far as the classic goes, but we're talking about the Whitney today. So, yeah, would I be shocked if he wins? Absolutely not. But I'm probably, again, going to lean toward Olympiad. If Hot Rod Charlie can get out of his own way, why not there, too, right?
At the draw the other morning, Leandro Mora, the assistant to Doug O'Neill, was there, and I said, what are your expectations on Saturday? He said, hi! So, they're looking for a good result. We'll see. When you sat down, you mentioned the Saratoga Derby, I tilted towards Annapolis. Lightly raced, and I think there's some potential there. But I have no argument. When you sat down, you said, going to go with Aidan O'Brien maybe in there?
Yeah.
I can't really argue with that.
No, well, for me, I'm actually vacillating between both the Euro horses. They finished right there with each other. Nation's Pride for Godolphin, Appleby, Buick. I mean, Buick, just what this guy has done is exceptional. I mean, he is a jockey with just impeccable skills. And the fact that he's out here to ride is obviously encouraging. And then, Stone Age. So I'm vacillating between the two. I'm not sure if I'm going to lock it down just yet until we get a little bit closer.
That's fair.
But that being said, if you watch that race back with Stone, I'm slightly leaning more toward him only because he's faced, I feel, deeper competition as overall. And on top of it, if you watch that race back, he was going to make a move. And he had to check back out. And then it looked like he was going to make another move. And then finally, when he did, he had to come out, go around, and he actually floated the Appleby horse out just a touch as they both were coming down the wire. But he got first jump, and then we just had the other horse come up and get second over him. So I feel like it was close enough, but I do feel like Stone Age may have ultimately ran the better race overall. I mean, and it's not bad. Yeah, you're losing more, but you're getting Johnny V. So.
Yeah, and... again, Emmanuel and Classic Causeway, I think, are going to make a totally different pace scenario than we saw last time, which may set it up a little better for Stone Age.
Oh, yeah, and also afternoon. Cutting back just slightly.
So, fun race today. And I have said a couple of times already, and people who watch this show enough know I love 3-year-olds on the turf. There's a stakes race, it seems like, every weekend across the country in that division. It's always a lot of fun. You're a pedigree person, and I appreciate it, and there are a couple of 2-year-old races today that we'll get some thoughts on. I appreciate it because I love the 2-year-old races up here. I think as a handicapper, you can find things that aren't on the page. If you spend a little time, you can look up the breeding. If you get familiar with connections who like to win early up here at the auctions, you can watch the workouts or get the times and whatnot. So I think the 2-year-old races up here are a lot of fun. Be interested to hear your opinions, taking a look at maybe some of the pedigrees. In the opener, I went with Mullingar on the pedigree.
I will say this. It's a very tough race.
Yes, absolutely. Both of them are.
I, The O'Brien horse, to me, that's sprint pedigree, top and bottom. We're going a mile and a 16th. But then again, it's O'Brien, so who am I to question him, right? But that being said, Mullingar, he's got the race experience. You've got that fitness worked in. Now you're flipping onto the grass. And I just think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he has siblings who have been able to run well on turf. I mean, his half-brother, Sirocco Strike, he was the next shy in two editions of the Green Flash Stakes. And obviously that pedigree, just on the surface of it, you know it can flip. But I thought he was interesting. You're not going to get a price on Red Route 1. You're not. But I will say the pedigree is there. You're by Gunrunner. You're out of a Tappet mare, and she happens to be a half-sister to Grade 1 winner Patio Prado, Secretariat Stakes. And then the Granny Funhouse, she was a Graded Stakes winner on the turf as well. So he's got the pedigree. Moonflyer I would have been interested in. I'm a little disconcerted about the sale price as a two-year-old for that. But Battle of Normandy, I think this horse is very interesting because he has a half-sister named Veronica Green. She's raced three times, twice on dirt for Chad Brown, then he put her on the turf, and she was just a neck shy of getting that W against maiden special weight competition, and her buyer figure just jumped with the surface switch. So this horse is one that I would look at as well. So I know, not a concrete pick. I will also say to you, though, the Trackmate, that horse is interesting only because I know there's people been discussing Union Rags on the turf. I think it really depends on the mare situation. Union Rags, some people might not know this, but he's a half-brother to the dam of Declaration of War. And then also, with this female family, it's just really solid. It's a very deep family, and in fact, the dam here is a half-sister to Warfront. Yeah. Warfront, dirt horse himself, but he's thrown a lot of horses who can run on the grass.
All right, well, I have a 4-5-7, so...
Let's just bet them all.
High five there. I have Mullingar over Red Route 1 and Battle of Normandy, so I like your thinking there in what is a fun opener today. And don't forget, that kicks off at 12:30. We're a little early today. This sixth race, I'm going to be interested to hear your thoughts there. I went with a Point Proven, but I think Disarm, second time out for Steve Asmussen, is really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on the sixth?
Well, I mean, how can you ignore the fact that he was up against Mo Strike, and then we saw Mo Strike come here and just win the Sanford Stakes? Of course, this is a horse you should definitely respect. Perform, I know that I talked to Suge, as you mentioned, on my show, and he was really satisfied with the horse's debut. I mean, Suge's not someone who has to have that horse win first out. It can often be an education. He loved the way he's working. Really, that pedigree, I will tell you, his grandmother or his great-grandmother is Leslie's Lady. So that's the dam of Beholder, Mendelssohn, Into Mischief, etc.
Chug's barn is all about pedigree.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I will say, I thought Wadsworth, you mentioned him, right? I mean, that's a really interesting pedigree there. Dickinson, we loved her. Talented horse, Grade 1 winner. And it's also the family of Mine Shaft, too, so it's a flexible pedigree at that. But here's the thing. The five is named Croupy, and I know you're not getting any price because it's a Todd Fletcher entry, and the other part of the entry is great, too. But you're not going to name a horse after J.J. Croupy of Newcastle Farm, who is the guy who helped find Uncle Mo for Mike Rapoli, unless this horse has ability, right? You're not going to do that. I mean, sadly, he was lost, so this horse is named in honor of him. If you were going to try to get a better price, Rocket Can is a horse that really has piqued my interest. I will say that.
I love Into Mischief on top.
Well, we know that, you know, Bill's not looking to gun these horses out. There's at least one work on that tab that kind of caught my eye in particular. You got the Into Mischiefs, as you're talking about. You're out of tension by Tappet. Mama's half-sister to Tiz and Midnight, she set a new track record winning the Bayakoa. It was at Los Alamitos, but still. But it's just a really great pedigree. The grandmother here is a multiple Grade 1 winner, Tough Tiz's Sis, if you remember her. So that's the horse I'm probably at a better price going to try to beat everybody with.
All right.
But we'll see. Again, when it comes down, when it's so close from a pedigree perspective, I then really want to see what they look like in person. But that doesn't help your horizontals.
No. But that's what Saratoga is all about.
That's
in these
right.
Two-year-old races, shop around. And you were supposed to be on the show yesterday, but you had the travel troubles, and you texted me you liked the Catman horse yesterday.
I would have looked. I mean, great. I'm just happy he didn't go off higher than 7-2 because I would, you know, I can live with not being able to like brag about.
That is a funny horse player mentality. Oh, I didn't have that one, but yeah, it was 7-2. Had it been 15-1, I would.
I would have been a genius, right?
Yeah. Would have killed yourself though if you didn't get to come and play it. That's as I say, the horse player's mentality. Ren, we really appreciate the visit. Have a great time in
Saratoga. Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck today with the plays and whatnot. Again, where can people find your, the Breeders' Cup work and whatnot?
Well, just go to @RenCarruthers on Twitter. That's the main social media platform I use. And from there, I tell everybody where they can go to check my stuff out with Breeders' Cup. But, of course, their social media platforms, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, will carry that type of media as well.
And just on a day-to-day basis, as you're looking at tracks around the country, toss out some pedigree plays on Twitter as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. If I'm feeling it. I really have to love a horse.
That's the best kind.
Yeah.
When somebody really loves it and they toss it out. Appreciate the visit. Everybody who shows up on Saturday gets dinner at Jacob and Anthony's.
Well, now I'm glad I missed it. I came today.
That's right. Because it is a Saturday. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
well,
my gosh,
maybe it was a plan. Yeah. Very good. Appreciate the visit. As always, as I say, get to see you in person. So that's
great
a bonus as well.
No, for me too. Thank you, Seth.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Wesley Ward is in the house. Boy, Golden Pal looked great yesterday. We'll talk about that and more. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, happy to be joined now by Wesley Ward. Nice stakes win yesterday. We'll hit on that more. Wes, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate your swinging by. I know a Saturday at Saratoga is always busy, sales week and whatnot, so we appreciate your stopping by, but I had to get you in to talk a little bit about Golden Pal and more. But before we do that, I always say this time of year we have folks who are maybe new to the game, and I always like to introduce people, the people who put the game together, and so it's more fun for folks to follow. Give us your background a little bit. I know when I first got into the game, you were a jockey going way back when, but talk a little bit about how you got into the game and how you progressed to becoming a trainer.
I'm originally from Washington State, and family was on the racetrack. It's all I knew, and that's all I was interested in when I was a kid, so... I started riding at the county fairs, and my big dream at that time was to come to New York to be a jockey, following Steve Cawthon and others. And so you have to be just like driving a car, you have to be 16. So I won 100 and plus races at the county fairs as a kid and made some connections and got a great agent in Lenny Goodman, who had Steve.
Wow.
And moved back here, and first year was like a dream.
Talk a little bit about that first year we up here.
Yeah. I started March 3rd is my birthday, so I started in March at Aqueduct.
And didn't waste any time.
No. And kind of got going pretty good, and when we got to Belmont, all the jockeys came up from Florida, got a little tougher. But as soon as we hit Saratoga, I sort of caught fire and went four one day and made it up to leading rider here with about a week to go in the meet, and I got a 7-day suspension, so I couldn't.
You made it to leading rider as an apprentice?
As leading rider.
Oh, wow.
I was tied with Angel, and I had to take a 7-day suspension. And we fell into Belmont, though, and I was leading rider at that track, so that in Meadowlands. And
then the Eclipse, right?
Yeah, it was a great year.
Yeah, that's incredible. Very good. And then how did you transition over into the training side of things?
Well, Mother Nature, you know, I mean, here I am, you know, doubled in size, and so I fought it as long as I could. I made it 5.5 years of being a jockey, and at the end it was just, I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then naturally I just fell right into training.
And you're having a great training career, obviously, and I always say, you know, we do a handicapping show as well, and when Wesley Ward has a sprinter on the turf, I always take an extra look. It seems like you have a great feel for that side of the game, and that showed yesterday with just a fabulous turf sprinter. We're going to take a look at yesterday's Troy. Golden Pal is going to be number 5 horse here. Ding Dong Battle with True Valor, the number 6 horse. Thin White Duke, number 7, comes up late. But give us your impressions yesterday of the victory in the Troy.
Well, it's just a really special horse, and I've been up here with him the whole time, which generally over the years, my main base is at Keeneland, so I'll spend the majority of my time there kind of going back and forth. But with this horse, he's just so special. When he came out of the stall, I wanted to be right beside him until yesterday. So he came through for us, and he's a really, really... to get a horse like this in a career is just a blessing.
7 wins in 10 starts. We're approaching $2 million. Tried him at Royal Ascot, and you can give the fluky story there that behind that.
Yeah, it was just a shame. He went over as a 2-year-old in his second start as a maiden, and he was just beaten on the line. And we tried last summer. We went to York and put the great Frankie Dettori on, and no real excuse, we just got beat. It was kind of a head scratcher, as good as he was coming into the race. So I was looking to go and sort of vindicate and showcase such a great horse, and I was very, very confident going into the race because everything had gone down to just perfection as far as, you know, trainer bringing a horse to a race. And my great friend and owner, Steve Cawthon, walked the course with Irad and I on opening day run. And
Cawthon, who had the great career over there as well.
Yeah, and so he gave him all the insights to the track and where to be. It's a straightaway, and Irad being his first ride at Ascot. And I told him, I said, it's kind of like the Kentucky Derby over there. When the last horse goes in, they kick the gate, no matter, you know, here you'll see, and, you know, if a horse is acting up, you'll hear the comments from the starters that are holding, or handlers holding onto the horses, wait. Well, there, it doesn't matter. They go. So I told him, be ready. But there was one horse, a long shot, behind the gate that was being unruly, and the riders in England know that the starter will just call him out anytime and click the button without giving any notice, but Irad didn't. So he's looking back at the horse that was being unruly, and the starter clicked the button, and Irad almost fell off, and the race was over.
Yeah, but again, that was last time. It was a good comeback. Yesterday, nice win. What's up next?
Well, we're going to get him back to Keeneland, home track, and we're going to think about the Phoenix Stakes being on dirt on his home track. We'll give him a few workouts on the dirt, and by Uncle Mo, he should certainly take to it. He always has in the mornings, give no indication that he has. And I've had him on the grass because early on he had some minor issues that the grass is a lot more kind and forgiving for horses of this quality and as fast as they are. But there's no reason why he shouldn't, especially for stallion value. If he can show that he can emulate this on both surfaces, his value goes up.
Ah, that's very interesting. So a good result there, Breeders' Cup Sprint?
I don't know about that. You know, I mean, that you'll have to take on Jackie's Warrior and even my Kamari. I may go and end up going that way with her against the boys. It will at least show.
Yeah, you
that
get
he can
that one on the resume, interesting. All right, very good. Pulled up some other replays going back recently. Get a little update on this one. Just a week or so ago out at Del Mar, Twilight Gleaming got it done in the Daisy Cutter. Just curious, you know, this one had been working up here. What was the game plan to ship out and take the shot out at Del Mar in the Daisy Cutter? And give us your thoughts on this performance and what might be next for Twilight Gleaming.
She's such a great filly. She hasn't been worse than second in her career. We had her here ready to go for Barbara Mankey opening weekend, and unfortunately the week prior the exercise rider tightened the girth up a little too tight, so she kind of got inflamed underneath there. So even though on race day she was fine, we just erred on the side of caution and took her out, and we're scrambling kind of for another race because she was ready, and we put her on a plane.
So plan B is to go cross country. Very good.
Yeah.
And she is one who had some success over in Europe. The Queen Mary Stakes at Ascot last year, runs second, then goes over to France and wins. In those early days at the county fairs out on the West Coast, were you ever thinking, yeah, I'll be over in Royal Ascot with the top hat and the tails?
I didn't even know that existed. So, you know, but luckily enough, you know, I've been going over there for 15 years.
Point to you now as the guy who has really started the trend and more people are doing it. What was the impetus to go over it? And just, it seems like every year now you may be looking early in the year for horses that have the potential to go over there.
Absolutely. You know, starting now at the sales here in the next couple of days at Fasig, I'll be looking for horses that might be precocious with an affinity for the grass. But early on, you know, if you have an early two-year-old winner and it shows that it likes the turf, then we'll be certainly pointing for that.
And again, it's been fun to watch. As an American racing fan, it's fun to watch your horses and now some of the other Americans going over and taking on, because Royal Ascot really is. I mean, we think of Saratoga as a great end-to-end meet, but over there they compress it down to 5 days, and it is high-quality racing for each of those 5 days. So to go over and win there, and you've been very successful, that has to just be a great feeling. And relate to people what that is like, you know, the top hat and the tails, and what's the atmosphere like at Royal Ascot?
Well, for any racing fan, you know, if you're an avid fan, you should certainly try at some stage to get over to enjoy that and experience that, because it's just, you know, the greatest horses, and everybody's dressed like we were probably here in the 50s and 60s. When you come to the races, you've got to be nines there with the tie. But, you know, it's just you could feel, you know, in the air when you're there, that just the quality of racing and the, you know, in it's ingrained in their culture as well, as far as the people over there. They've been coming for centuries.
Well, the Queen participates. She's a horse owner and has some pretty good horses as well. Let's get a little preview today, because you do have one coming up in the test. We're going to take a look. We're going to go back to Churchill on May 19th. Parlance, the number 6, will be the winner. Chi-Town Lady, the number 5, runs second. That was the last out for Chi-Town Lady. What are your thoughts this afternoon in the test? I mean, you have a monster in there. If you can get past the monster, I think the race becomes kind of wide open.
This filly, you know, she won a stake last year here. And she's sort of, as time's going on, she's unlike my horses. She kind of comes out of the gate a little slow. And the rider, Chris Landeros, he just kind of set on her, and she came with a big run.
Yeah, nice late run.
So being a three-year-old, we're kind of in having won two races, we're sort of in the spring of the year, you don't really want to run them against older horses, and because, you know, they're starting to catch up now, but not quite. So you're giving a little advantage away there. And there's not that much of a weight break when you put a three-year-old against olders, you know, in the late spring. So this race came up, and I thought the best thing for the owner and breeder is if we could get a graded stakes placing, being 7/8, and utilize that style that she's now transformed herself into, to where we could sort of get a rider like Joel Rosario, which that's one of his fortes, is let her break, let her sit back, you know, 10, 15 lengths back there, and hopefully a big pace duel unfolds up front, and then we'll come late and run 1, 2, 3, and a grade one for the breeder would be fantastic.
As I say, I think the race past Maitreya gets kind of wide open and intriguing in there. Also, I didn't pull up a replay, but you have a runner in the Lore Duke of Hazzard. What are your thoughts on Duke of Hazzard and the Laura this afternoon?
I think he's going to run a good race. He's got a really good rider with Jose Ortiz. You know, in watching his replays over in Europe, he needs to kind of get back a little bit, kind of like her, and save some ground and sit there and have a patient guy like Jose on her to where he can make one run. And I think that this horse has been training very, very well. He had great work last week over at the Oklahoma Turf Course. So I think he's setting up for a big race. I know it's going to be very contentious, but we're certainly in there with a chance.
That's the Lure this afternoon. And for folks who are looking out of town, you also have one in the Jersey Shore down at Monmouth coming up, and that's Nakatomi. Another nice little runner for you. 3 wins and 6 career starts so far. Nakatomi had been working at Keeneland. What was the game plan to head to Monmouth this afternoon?
Well, we've got Sheikh Fahd in town. He's a great guy. And being as he's here at Saratoga, we opted out to scratch and bring him here this week for an allowance race.
All right. So we'll look for that one coming up later in the week?
Yes.
All right. So good information there for folks who are maybe looking a little Monmouth today. Also wanted to pull up some wins from earlier in the meet, maybe get caught up, and you kind of alluded to it. Kamari, you had to feel great about this because this – there was 4 horses. This field was loaded. Frank's Raquette and particularly Bella Sophia. We're going to watch the stretch run here, but Kamari winds up the winner in the Honorable Miss just back about a week or so ago. As they say, you had to feel very good about this. How'd the horse come out of the race, and what might be next for Kamari?
We're pointing to the Breeders' Cup, and I think she's a little better at 6 than 7 furlongs. So if it gets to that point, because we're going to go into TCA at our home track at Keeneland, which is opening weekend, and that will tell the tale as to where we go 7 against the girls or 6 against the boys. I personally would like to lean against the boys just because it's my home track and her home track. She thrives there. She trained all the way up to that race here at Saratoga and at Keeneland, and she just came in here and she was just doing fantastic. So, and she ran so, you know, her number of figures came back phenomenal with 105 buyer and a 3 on the rags and sheets. I mean, that puts her right there in the big race at the fall of the year here in the Breeders' Cup. So we'll see where we are.
Well, like I say, it was a 4-horse field, but it was a loaded 4-horse field. That was a big win. And, you know, Saratoga, we're always about the 2-year-olds. Just wanted to pull up a replay going back to very early in the meet. Half a chance. Second career start. The debut on the turf down at Belmont. Pretty good second place finish after having shown some speed, but then you move the horse over to the dirt for this start at Saratoga. Half a chance, the number 1 horse. Talk about this one. Why'd you go turf to dirt in the first 2 career starts? And always interested in a nice 2-year-old. What might be next for Half a Chance?
Yeah, she's very nice filly. We got a little lucky. Billy Mott's filly came charging late there on us. And there was a little bit of a rain shower that day, which kind of helped her get over the course, get through it, and win. Had it, you know, been to where it was a little bit heavier and it didn't have that moisture with that rain shower, I don't know if Billy would have got me or not. But we got our picture taken opening day and got that out of our way to where we could have a nice meet, so it was great. And we're looking at a few races coming up as well. We might switch back surfaces to the grass, so we'll see where we are.
Well, so far what you've seen through the first 2, your options seem open. You got to feel really good about that. You mentioned the sale. You are participating. You'll be overlooking at some horses. Will you also take a look at the New York Breds on the weekend?
I will be, yeah. I'll be looking at both sales. You know, hopefully, I'm sure that, you know, they're going to be fantastic. I haven't seen anything yet, but right when I leave the show, I'm heading over there.
Yeah, well, I will tell you, I went over to pick up my catalog this morning, and it was rocking over there. They're looking, and the horses are out. Should be a good couple of days up here, the open sale and New York Breeds sale as well. Just before we let you go, always have to ask and see if maybe somebody wants to tip their hand a little bit. 1 or 2 two-year-olds we can maybe look for the remainder of the meet?
You know, I have one filly, Rarify. She was second early on in the meet, and I've got really, really high hopes for her. She's sold in the mornings at Keeneland to where she's Run Happy's sister out of the same mares by Justify, and Justify's sailing right now. She's doing great. So maybe the track, as I said, a little bit opposite from Half a Chance, where it was really, really dry that day, and it was hard for her to kind of get through. And the race was 6 instead of 5.5, like Half a Chance's race. And But she really got a lot out of that race, and I'm looking forward here in about 2 weeks' time to bring her back.
Rarefied. Very good. Wes, we really appreciate the visit. As everybody on a Saturday morning have dinner on us down at Jacob Anthony's downtown, good. We appreciate you taking the time because obviously big stakes day, sales week. We know you're very busy, but we appreciate your stopping by. Congratulations on the nice win with Golden Pal yesterday. What a nice horse, and good luck going forward as well.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Wes Ward. All right, that'll wrap things up for a Saturday edition of Racing Across America. It's Whitney Day. Don't forget, early post time, 12:35. Great day of racing ahead, so come on up and enjoy it, or swing by one of the parlors, or fire up your Capital OTV bet account on the phone or the tablet. It's going to be a fun day of racing. So enjoy it this afternoon. Back in tomorrow. Handicapper support at 9 a.m. Racing Across America. No, at 10 o'clock tomorrow is Loose on the Lead. Steve Bick and I with Loose on the Lead on a Sunday at 10 a.m. So, again, enjoy the racing this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.